For a whole year, Bahrainis have been standing their ground. We want the fall of the regime, they say. And despite support from its Arab and Western allies, the Bahraini monarchy has still not managed to quell the protests. On this edition of News Analysis, we're asking what lies ahead for yet another anti-dictatorship movement in the Arab world.
Chanting Allahu Akbar or God is greatest, people in burial shroud flood the streets across Bahrain to mark the first anniversary of the revolution against the Al Khalifa dynasty. The demonstrators marched towards the Pearl Square in the capital Manama, where regime forces unleashed a brutal crackdown on the protesters last year when the uprising began. Nothing has changed since then, despite promises of reforms by officials. The regime forces use force to nip any movement in the bud. King Hamad, who has been the target of all anti-regime slogans, has once again ruled out any room for dissent. He says the constitution does not recognize organized opposition. Relations between the Al Khalifa regime and its ally, the US, has remained cordial since the uprising began in mid-February 2011. Latest reports say Washington has supplied the Manama regime with arms all through the uprising. The supplies include toxic tear gas, which has so far suffocated several demonstrators to death. Dozens of people have lost their lives and thousands have been put in jail and abused. Those tortured in prison include professionals like doctors and nurses. Their crime was treating Bahraini protesters injured by the regime forces. The people are angry at the US for its continued support for the Al Khalifa regime, despite its claims of supporting human rights. They're also angry at the Saudi regime for its intervention in Bahrain with the aim of crushing the uprising there. Both the Bahraini and Saudi regimes are key U.S. allies in the Persian Gulf region.
Joining me now live from Beirut is Mr. Jamal Wakim, professor of the Lebanese International University. And also with us live from Austin is Colin Cavill, former assistant professor of the University of Bahrain. Thank you very much for joining us, gentlemen. My first question I'd like to put to our guest in Beirut, Mr. Jamal Wakim. Mr. Wakim, 1 year on when we're looking at the Bahrain revolution, let's just have first your view on what do you think the Bahraini movement has achieved up until now? Where has it come?
First, after 1 year of protests in Bahrain, the most important step achieved by the opposition there is to break the silence against a ruthless rule by the Al Khalifa that lasted for nearly two centuries and that is treating the island as a private fief. So when I hear from some friends in Bahrain how they are treated, how they are denied any access, they live in an island and they are denied any access to the beach, to the sea, because the whole island became like a private fief for the Al Khalifa, for their resorts on the beach. So this is one sign or one dimension of how bad these people are treated. They are denied of any political rights, of any human rights, of any labor rights. So that's why people who are living in extreme poverty, who are denied of any rights, they are now rising. It has been 1 year now that they are rising for their rights. They are not quelled by the government, and this is more than enough for the time being to prepare for reforms, for a regime change in Bahrain.
Well, and now in Austin, Mr. Cavill, would you say that despite the fact that we know that these demonstrations have been taking place for a whole year now, that they've been continuing, that however the regime has been successful in stopping these protests from moving any more, rather from forcing it to undergo changes, would you say that the protesters do have the upper hand, or is it the regime that has the upper hand?
The regime has not stopped the protests. They have not stopped the will of the people. The people are very united. They have lost their fear of the regime. And as I've said many times before, directly to the U.S. State Department, they need to realize that the situation is not going to go away. The State Department thinks that this will be like the 90s and that things will quiet down eventually. No, the people have had enough of a 228-year monarchy, an autocratic dictatorship, and they want change. But I'll leave that to the Bahraini people to decide. My purpose here is to tell the U.S. government we need to live up to democratic values. We need to quit supporting monarchical dictatorships. And we need to quit ignoring democratic activists in the streets, especially when they are the vast majority of the population of Bahrain.
In Beirut, Mr. Joachim, the question now would be, how long can the regime continue with its current strategy? Right now, we haven't been seeing any political reforms, for instance. What we've been seeing, though, is arrests and allegations of torture, the crackdown that's been supported by Saudi Arabia. How long can this strategy, do you think, continue?
As long as Saudi Arabia is willing to support the Al-Khalifa regime, because had it been for the regime itself, it would have crumbled long ago. But it's the Saudi dynasty that is ruling Saudi Arabia that is insisting on Al-Khalifa not to give in to any pressure by the people, by the Bahraini people, not to accept any reforms and order, because they fear that the rebellion will move on to their territory, to Saudi Arabia itself, where we have even a worse dynasty ruling over the country. So that's why the Saudis intervened militarily to crack down on the demonstrations, and several victims fell down, and they are still supporting and subsidizing the Al-Khalifa regime in order to live up to the economic crisis that was the cause and was that was the cause actually of the act of the demonstrations, of the protests on one hand, but that were magnified by these protests. So the Al-Khalifa are subsidized by the Saudis financially. They are supported militarily in order to reject any reform in the political system.
Mr. Cavill, that brings the question of how much control the Bahraini rulers have in this situation. Would you agree with this interpretation or this analysis that the Bahraini rulers are listening to each and every order that's coming from Riyadh and that they themselves are in a very weak position?
Well, first of all, the Al-Khalifas have no desire to enact reforms. Yes, they are a satrapy or an appendage of Saudi Arabia, but to add to Professor Joachim's analysis, it's also the U.S. that is keeping the Saudi monarch in power as well as the Bahraini monarch in power. And this goes back to a deal made between President Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Abdulaziz ibn Saud back in 1945 in the Great Bitter Lake in Egypt, where they said, we will support this one family in Saudi Arabia and we'll have cheap access, easy access to oil in the region. And we have utilized that model ever since, supporting the Saudi monarch, supporting the Al-Khalifas in Bahrain, supporting the other five members of the GCC monarchs. We have to quit supporting despotic tyrants. We should live up to our democratic values instead of just kowtowing to these monarchs because it's betraying who we are as a democratic republic.
So basically, Mr. Wakim, would you say that without the support of Saudi Arabia, the United States and other Arab allies, that Bahrain could not have survived this?
You mean without the support of the Americans?
Yes.
Of the United States?
The United States and Saudi Arabia.
Yes, definitely. The United States is supporting both Al-Khalifa and Al-Saud to remain in power because it's an integral part of their geopolitical interest in the region ever since Franklin Delano Roosevelt, as my colleague from Austin stated, because the interests, the American and Saudi interests, are interrelated ever since. Due to petroleum, due to geopolitical factors, especially now when we are witnessing the formation of a multipolar system where we have China, Russia, Europe, and Iran rising to prominence as either world powers or regional powers. So the United States is interested in keeping its hegemony over the Middle East on one hand and over oil mainly.
Right. Well, I'm just hearing that we have another guest with us now, Mr. Jafar Al-Hassabi, Bahraini, a Bahrain political activist who's joining us live from London. Let's bring him into the discussion as well. Mr. Al-Hassabi, we were speaking about the support that the Bahraini regime right now is getting from its allies, including the United States, Saudi Arabia, and its other Arab allies. The question that I'd like to put to you here is how far do you think this support can go? How far is the United States, for instance, or Saudi Arabia willing to go? Will they, by any chance, do you think, ask the Bahraini rulers to forego some of their powers?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think the support for these brutal regimes in the Gulf is going to continue unless there's a major change from the, let's say, from one of the allies, the American allies in the Gulf has fall down, but with the petro dollar from Saudi Arabia, this support will continue to be to be there, and the domination of the American interest would be also strongly supporting these regimes. Unless major, very major things happen, either to be towards the Yemenis who are fighting for their rights, and also for the Bahrainis. Everybody knows what is happening now in Bahrain is a crisis. We are in a very critical situation right now, and you can see the support from the Americans and from Britain is obvious. They are supporting. They are supplying them with the arms, and with these arms they are killing our people in Bahrain. And you see, you've seen today how they are attacking the villages, and they are in our people to calling for their demands, for the basic demands, right, which is now 1 year from the uprising. Till now, last night, the dictator appeared, and he did not say anything towards the movement is going on in Bahrain. He talked right about like we are in he is living in a different place, not in Bahrain. The movement is continuing, and there is no let's say media should from the West or from the Gulf.
Let me just stop you there, Mr. Asabi. because I'd just like to put up another question now to our guest in Austin. Mr. Cavill, speaking about how the West is getting involved in this, first of all, I'd just like to put that question to you as well, the question of how far the United States or Saudi Arabia are willing to go in their support for Bahrain. For instance, when we look at the situation in the region in Yemen, for instance, or in Tunisia or Egypt, these were rulers that were supported initially by the United States, but later on the United States had to concede that the best way would be for these rulers to step down. Do you think that they're looking for maybe a similar situation in Bahrain?
Yes, I do think so. And it will be up to the people of Bahrain to convince the United States government that they should abandon their ties with the Al Khalifa monarchy. If the average American citizen knew the type of despotic, tyrannical regimes we are supporting in the Gulf, they would be outraged and they would call our leaders treasonous. It would be similar to the treason label we appended to Benedict Arnold during our revolution for betraying the Continental Army and supporting King George of England. That is what we're doing. We're supporting the most tyrannical dictatorships. U.S. policy can change, but it will take the united effort of the Bahraini people to show them that things will not go back to normal. And that is what I've been saying all along. The situation has gone so far that the State Department folks need to wake up, because they're like the king of Bahrain. They're living in palaces compared to the average workers of Bahrain. They don't understand the strife and the hardship they're feeling. They don't understand the tear gas, the jailings, the torture, the beatings, the killings. The State Department, the U.S. State Department, needs to wake up and quit saying that the Khalifas are a soft monarchy, or that they're benevolent, or it's not as bad as some of the other countries. Because the Bahraini uprising is, percentage-wise, the largest uprising of all of the Arab uprisings. More than half the population were on the streets. Right. And that's a fact.
Mr. Wakim, now in Beirut, one question would be, can the Bahraini demonstrators get what they want without any kind of support from the international community, at least in the shape of political pressure on the Bahraini rulers?
I believe that the prospects of the Bahraini revolution are not that promising in the near future, because we have the backing of the United States, of Saudi Arabia and other GCC countries to Al Khalifa, while the Bahraini people are not having any support from any part in the world. I believe that the United States will not accept any compromise similar to what happened in Egypt or in Yemen, because they fear that any democratic rule in Bahrain will slip the island away from American hegemony. And for some right-wing Americans in the American administration, they accuse these Bahraini protesters of trying to put Bahrain under the umbrella of Iran. So this is how complicated matters are for the Bahraini revolution. Too bad, I don't think that it will achieve any fruitful results any soon. The Bahrainis will have to keep fighting on until they acquire support from other people, maybe in order to quell and to enforce their will on the Al Khalifa.
And now, Mr. Hassabi in London, we had in one report the Bahraini ruler saying that according to the Bahraini constitution, we can't even recognize the existence of an organized opposition movement in Bahrain. So basically, do you think that options like dialogue between the opposition and the rulers is now at this point even viable or possible? And do you think that this is what the demonstrators are looking for, or rather is it about the complete overthrow of the monarchy in Bahrain?
Well, the ignorance from the authorities is saying clearly that there is no opposition. They are not declaring that there is opposition on the other side. That's why what they are doing and what they are trying to do is just to cracking down this demonstration, and they don't want to listen to the demonstrators because it is obvious they think that they only. Is the ruler in Bahrain, nobody else. And everybody knows that our figures, our political figures are in jail, they are suffering. And if this ruler, the dictator wants to have a dialogue, it should begin long time ago, mm-hmm. since the uprising started. But he doesn't want to say that there is the existence of the of any opposition and on the ground, and also he it is obvious saying that the brutality and the to oppress these people is the way to. To crack down right. and to shut them down, and also to, not to give them any of their demands.
Right.
This is a policy is continuing, and I don't think and the people of Bahrain they are trying their best to call right. for their demands, even if they are still they are suffering. Right. And everybody knows that the international community they are watching. But they are not doing anything. If they want to do something, it should be started long time ago.
Right. Could you stop you there,
Mr.
Hassabi?
It seems that nobody wants to do anything.
Because we are running out of time, and I'd like to put the last question to our guest in Austin. Mr. Cavill, would you agree there with Mr. Wakim, who told us earlier that maybe the prospects for the for this anti-dictatorship movement in Bahrain are not very good, at least in the near future? If these demonstrators are asking for the regime to go, what are the prospects?
Well, Professor Joaquim has a good point that given the U.S. support for the regime and the Saudi support for the regime, it will be very difficult for the people of Bahrain to oust their current dictatorship. However, they have a choice to make because the dictatorship knows that as long as there is a opposition that is larger than the minority government, they will have to deal with that, and that means bringing in expatriates, giving them citizenship. It means further punishment and punitive measures against the majority democratic opposition, most of whom are Shia. So they are faced with an existential challenge. Either they quiet down now and get decimated right. in their ranks, or they utilize the momentum that they have now and rise up and seek liberty and freedom.
Thank you very much. Colin Cavill, former assistant professor of the University of Bahrain, speaking to us there live from Austin. A big thank you as well to Professor Jamal Wakim with the Lebanese International University, who was with us from Beirut, and Mr. Jafar Al-Hassabi, Bahraini political activist, joining us there live from London. I'm afraid we've run out of time. From me, Homa Lezgi, and the rest of the team here in Tehran, until our next program, it's goodbye.